Let's go, girls. Welcome to Pop and Circumstance, the podcast where we talk about pop culture things.
Yep.
Whee! I'm Eva.
I'm Emily.
I'm Victoria.
Woo! And we got the girls here.
It's the girls' room.
The girls' room.
So it's a very, like, niche audience.
I know, yeah. But we are going to talk about women.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's...
All things women.
Yeah, because by the time this episode airs, it'll be the end of March.
Yep.
Which is Women's Month. And so we're just going to talk about them.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a fun episode. I'm excited. And now we are on to Emily's little pop culture corner.
Hello. All right. Some news of the week. This just dropped today. Ariana Grande is going to be the new host.
Yes.
The new host. The new coach of The Voice. She's replacing Nick Jonas.
I didn't know Nick Jonas was in there.
I didn't either.
So now the only original coach still on the show is Blake Shelton.
Oh, Adam Levine left?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
John Legend replaced Adam Levine. So it's John Legend.
A better singer, though.
Yeah. So it's John Legend, Kelly Clarkson, Blake Shelton, and then now Ariana Grande.
Okay. I think that's actually a really good, like, collection of singers.
And also, like, very different. Well, not, like, they're different voices. So they'll look for different things for the most part. And they have different sounds. So they can be like, usually, well, in the past, I don't know now. I was like, in the past, in the beginning of the show, Blake was always winning.
Yeah, true.
And I'm just like, I don't know. That man could just pick voices. I think it's probably because, like, even though country's a very niche audience, they still, there's something to a country voice that's very
authentic and real.
That you can't really replicate in most places.
I would agree with that. Like, in not the culture.
I was like, not everybody can sing country, but, you know.
I would agree with that.
So.
Well, that'll be fun. I haven't watched The Voice in, like, five ever.
Yeah,
I since, like, the early odds.
I only watched that one, the one season that Cassidy Pope and Joe Kirkland were on, and that's it.
The guy who was the lead singer for Artist vs. Poet?
He wasn't the lead singer, he was the guitarist.
Oh.
And the only reason why he went on that show was because for Records, I'm gonna throw you under the bus here, told him that he couldn't be the lead singer. So he said, fuck you, I can do it.
I do remember that season. Yeah.
That's why he went. That was the only season I watched. I stopped watching after Joe got off. All right. BTS shares their experience with racism and they condemn anti-Asian violence. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Because they've also been experiencing a lot of racism towards them. I forgot what some, like, controversial radio host was on this other guy's more popular radio show, and he said something racist about BTS. And then also BTS was featured on Garbage Pail Kids, like, cards, and they were the only celebrity, like, it was like a Grammys, like, run of the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
But BTS was the only celebrities featured that were, like, pictured as, like, brutalized and beaten.
Interesting.
And they pulled it very quickly. So we were like, why are the only Asian people the only people being hurt? Like, look to be brutal. Like, his Garbage Pail Kids are, like, gross. They're supposed to look gross, but, like, this is, it was a whole, it was uncalled for. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Rachel Bilson? How do you, yes, one of the two. She explains why Rami Malek had asked her to take down an old picture of them. So, like, a while back, she had posted a throwback because they went to high school together. And then she had posted a throwback photo of the two of them. And then he sent her a DM and was like, can you please take that photo down?
Said that.
Yeah, I was like, can you take the photo down? I'm a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just on Dax Shepard's podcast. And she, the way she explains it, even Dax was like, was there, like, blackface in it? Like, what controversial was in it that, like, he really wanted that photo down?
Because
there was nothing. She was just like, no, we just, you know,
just
you're high schooler. So you look a little grosser. You know, no one looks great in high school. If you do, well, now everybody does.
I know, weird. Like, what the hell?
But, you know, know, but she was like, no, she was like, I just thought, you know, it was a cute, not a cute, but she's like, I just thought it was a funny, mm-hmm. like a photo of us when we were younger. She was like, I think it's a really good thing to be able to make fun of yourself mm-hmm. and stuff. So she was just like, oh, just, you know, I don't know. Maybe he truly is a really private person. And was just like, I don't want anybody to see photos of me when I was younger.
Does he even have social media?
Well, he was able to DM her, so social media.
He probably
probably screens everything that gets posted mm-hmm. about him, so he's just like, no, I don't want old photos to get posted of me that I didn't approve, yeah. sort of thing.
He doesn't seem like a very open mm-hmm. kind of guy.
Because, like, he looks like a person who can kind of joke around, at least, like...
Yeah.
He seems like... I don't know. If you did not at the museum, I feel like you should be able to joke around.
Right, yeah.
And then, but, you know... To each their own.
Yeah.
He just could be that type of person.
Yep.
Couple other stuff that went on. Pharrell says his cousin was man-shot and killed by Virginia Beach police on Friday.
Man-shot. Is that a typo?
I don't...
Is it manslaughter?
It says man-shot.
Okay, well,
I don't know. Today News. That's what they wrote, but it's really sad.
Yeah.
And then the big controversy. I want everybody's opinions on this.
Okay.
The Little Nas X.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, that was an experience. Me and Victoria were.
Did you know,
like,
that Nike sued him?
Nike
sued him
because he did take their shoe because he made their shoe and then he put.
Oh, did he like actually like? Without their consent, they mm-hmm. designed a Nike shoe.
He did. He took their shoe and then, like, changed it up and everything and put, like, the pentagram on it and everything. So, it technically, yes.
Can't you just do whatever you want to choose?
But could that also be, I could argue, could that also be, like, a commentary, like art, like Andy Warhol, for example. Andy Warhol would make all this other kind of stuff. Or, like, you know.
He did sell them.
Oh.
He sold the shoe. Like, he
oh, like the actual shoe?
Yeah, like, he was selling, okay, well, I think he different. Was selling the shoes.
Okay.
So,
if it was just a photo, then I would be like, it's just art.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, I think he sold the shoes.
I thought he just made it for himself. I was like, isn't that the same as, like, when you draw on your fucking band? Like,
yeah.
Like, in high school or whatever, I'm like, is Vans gonna come sue me? I draw my Vans all the time.
Yeah, I was like, a lot of people do it nowadays. They like they'll buy like,
yeah, like there's a bunch of people on Etsy who like yeah. buy like just regular the Air Force ones or whatever, mm-hmm. the white ones, and they make it their
That's
own.
That's true.
Homophobia.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Racism.
He's all 666 pairs of modified Nikes priced at $1,000 and $8,000 and 1018.
1018.
Thank you. Okay. Fuck. I was never good when it was that. Okay. I couldn't ever, like, I can write it. I couldn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did sell them. They sold out shortly after going on sale. And then Nike, like, you know, they sued him for trademark infringement. So
I mean, I guess that makes sense. That part makes sense.
Yeah, I was like, if he didn't blatantly use, if anything, he could have covered up the Nike logo on it or mm-hmm. anything, or bought, you know, cheaper shoes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a big deal. But he bought a name brand, a specific style shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And then redesigned them, and then
sold
them,
yeah.
And then resold them. That was the catch.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of whack, to be honest.
I mean,
in my opinion.
I mean, I get it, but also like you said, people on Etsy are doing the same thing, and they're not being sued. So
maybe they're just doing it because it has, you know, satanic imagery. If you will.
Okay, fine. They're just homophobic.
Nike's so boring.
Whatever.
They didn't sue him specifically, like Little Nas is not named as a defendant in the complaint, but it's MSCHF, which I guess is the
company.
Yeah, the company that like sold the shoes.
I see. Okay. Well, I just don't want him to lose any money because he deserves every penny.
Yeah.
But also, if you guys are in for a treat, please watch his music video.
Yeah, that was something.
So Nike was probably bullied into doing it, and they're like, yeah, just fucking do it.
Whack.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll sue him for like $1. They're like, don't do it again.
Yeah. Just like, calm down.
God, I know.
They're just like, look, do your own thing, but maybe don't put the Nike name on it. People get so uncomfortable when it comes the satanic stuff sometimes, because the same comment I saw all over Twitter, Billie Eilish, when she did that stuff, no one gave a shit. It's because she's a white woman and she's straight. That we know of. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know her.
Straight until proven otherwise.
Yeah, so no one has complaints about it. And I was like, well, Brandon Urie is bisexual.
True.
And no one
no one had a problem with his, you know.
Maybe it was because it was a three music video arc and no one gave a shit by the time the third one came out. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, maybe and unfortunately for Brandon Urie, he's not as viral as
He's not as popular, especially when those music videos came out. He was not as popular. Mm-hmm. But
we support Lil Nas and all his endeavors.
Yeah. I love his Twitter. He's, I love his comments.
He's just a sweet boy. Funny. I love him.
Let him do his thing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong.
Let him be gay.
Let artists do whatever they want, as long as they're not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not hurting anybody, I could care less. Mm-hmm. So that's it for the artist. I mean, not the artist corner. The pop news. Pop culture news. You know
pop
what?
Culture are, corner.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Eva. Words are not coming to my brain today.
Okay. So, who wants to go first?
You want
to
go off?
Okay. I guess me and Victoria, we can talk about our little K-pop stuff. Because lately I have been... Okay, fine. I'll talk about it. Because lately...
They're about to expose themselves.
We've been really into K-pop recently. That's kind of all... Pretty much all I've been listening to.
It's like drugs. You just get into it and you can't get out. It's too catchy.
I used to be really into it in like middle school. But little me, who thought I was straight back then, only listened to men. And like...
Middle school. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, middle school. My favorites were Super Junior and Shiny and TVXQ. You know, they...
This is not about them.
No, this isn't about them. No.
We aren't here to talk about men.
But I did like FX and 21. To anyone. Who knew those are the gayest girl groups. And also Girls' Generation classics. But now that I'm grown, my current favorite, my number one favorite at the moment is Mamamoo. There is no heterosexual energy to be seen amongst these girls. They're so hot, all of them. They're just amazing, fantastic, so talented. My favorite is Wheein. That's my bias. She's a tortured artist and I love her. And I also like Victoria's favorite, Red Velvet. They're chaotic. But I feel like they're like what you expect a K-pop group to sound like, except a little more chaotic. They're like, oh, okay, what's K-pop? And you're like, oh, here's Russian Roulette. Do you want to talk about your favorites, Victoria?
Nar.
No.
I'm just kidding. I can give you a very detailed analysis and ranking. No, I'm kidding.
Emily gave her a look. She was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what you have to time.
No. I'm joking. Yeah, I love Red Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have really good Twitter music. Account, I know. Yeah. It's so embarrassing. I just like their music a lot. It's like, I don't know, a mixture of pop and R&B, which I've always been into. Mm-hmm. You know, since my days as a young child when I was into, you know, Destiny's Child, Alicia mm-hmm. Keys, Lady Gaga, mm-hmm. all that. I've always listened to music by women because my mother, she just always, except for her obsession with John Legend, we've just always and listened Bruno to Mars. Like, well, that was recent, like music by women while I was like growing up. So that's just what I listened to. I cannot, not like, okay, like no shade to men or whatever, but I cannot do it. Like I cannot, like it literally.
It does nothing for
it
you.
It does nothing for me. Like,
except for Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. But like for the most part, I don't know what it is. There's the feelings. They're not real to me. I'm like, I don't know, it seems fake.
You can't connect.
Yeah.
It's also because she never went through an emo phase. That's also why I think you don't have like an attachment to like music made by men.
Mm-hmm.
Because like
I feel like
a lot of like alternative is dominated by the men.
And that's why I do not listen to that.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know.
Oh, your favorite is Irene. A stoic queen.
I'll back my phone.
Oh, yeah.
You're literally, so shy right now. Just talking about what you fucking like, bitch.
Can talk about Carly. Also on the back of my phone.
Mm-hmm. Carly Rae.
Fan since 2015 when she released Emotion. Well, I mean, you know, obviously, like everybody else, I loved.
Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. But Emotion.
That's a really good album.
Let's talk. Where's John? That's really good. It's fun. It makes me happy. I mean, like, I feel like I can't be in a bad mood and listen to Emotion by Carly Rae. And then, you know, like, my greatest dreams came true in the summer of 2019. I went to her concert for Dedicated, and I met her. and we hugged, and I have a picture with her that I've never posted anywhere because it's just for me and her.
It's between us.
It is. And I mean, what else? Who else? I'm just really into music by women. Lady Gaga. Been a fan literally since she dropped Just Dance in 2007. Like,
who's your number one?
My number one, like, favorite singer?
Yeah.
Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Since, like I said, since 2007, I was in the sixth grade, I remember, and she dropped that song, and I was like, wow, this slaps a little bit, and I had to use my mom's, like, little iTunes gift card to buy it on iTunes. Yeah. And then...
You didn't LimeWire it?
What the heck is that?
I've never done LimeWire, no.
Oh my god. Privilege? You had money? That shows that, obviously, Victoria here had money. Bitch, no.
Yeah. I had to play it on my little iPod. Yeah. And then, you know, she released... The Fame, and I was like, wow, this slaps. And I asked my mom to buy it, and she said no, because I was too young. That
parental guidance.
I do remember.
And then I think she released, like, a year or two after, she released The Fame Monster, which had Bad Romance, which mm-hmm. really, like, just skyrocketed her mm-hmm. into fame. And then my mom, that Christmas, bought me the Fame Monster, like, deluxe album, which had both The Fame and The Fame Monster in it, but it was, like, the censored version, right?
Oh, boo.
So for the longest time, that's all I, like, used to listen to, right? And then I think it was, like, in college, maybe, 2014.
Oh, my God, did you find out?
Well, okay, because I got Spotify, right? And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm gonna, like, listen to Lady Gaga, you know, like, on my way to school or whatever, as I was driving, like, to college from, like, my first day. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna start it off right. You know, I put Lady Gaga on, and then one of the songs, she says, like, fuck, right?
Yeah.
But in my censored version, it just, like, kind of skipped over, right? So I was, like, listening, and then she said it, and I was like, I was like, oh, my God, I never knew, like, this whole time, right? Because I just listened to my CD.
Right.
And it was, like, censored, and I was like, my mom, wow, she's keeping me from this. Yeah, so.
She also kept you from the concert, also.
Oh, yeah. My villain origin story. My mom did not let me go to the Born This Way ball in 2012 or 13. She said I was too young. I was, like, 16.
I was like, girl. Girl.
Wow. Like, it's fine. Since then, I've been to two concerts, and obviously, like, fantastic. I love her. She's the best
performer. She meant two Gaga concerts.
Yeah, sorry. Two Lady Gaga concerts. I was like,
she's been to more.
I do go to concerts quite frequently. And yeah, I'm really excited to go to her Chromatica concert when it comes out.
It's gonna be so good.
Or if it can happen, I'll fly to Boston for that if she does not decide to come to the West Coast, which I don't know why she wouldn't, because she can't forsake her gays here. But that's it. What else? Ariana Grande. I'm not a fan of Ariana Grande personally, like, as a person. This is why when you texted me earlier, like, are you gonna watch it? I was like, haha, no. She, like, as a person, fine. But her music, I'm, like, really into her music, especially, like, her latest album, which is, like, more R&B inspired. So good. I went to, don't look at me, anybody. I went to her Thank You Next concert 3 times in 2019. 3 times.
You subconsciously knew that something bad was going to happen in 2020, and you're like, I'm going to get my concert.
True. My last concert, which was the Ariana Grande concert, was on December 23rd, 2019.
I think my last show might have been Harry Styles.
That's a good one to end on.
For when he did Fine Lines front to back and Stevie Nicks showed up.
I forgot about her.
John literally was like, is that? What the fuck?
Stevie Nicks.
I never seen that man, like, go so alive. He was like, oh my god.
We stand John, first of all, because John has a very broad music taste. Mm-hmm. And he likes a lot of women. So good for him.
Yeah. You think he has a broad music taste, and then there's my best friend Monica, who will go from, like, whatever everybody listens to, and then to, like, very, very, like, particular music.
Like, that, niche, like, music.
Yeah, and then John
Bjork.
Was like... And then he was like, does she really... And I was like, yeah, that's what she listens to. There's just an array of emotions. Mm-hmm. This woman,
sure, yeah.
Spanish, English, whatever language, does not discriminate. And I'm just
true.
Like, you know,
I mean, regardless of language, if it's a bop, it's a bop.
Yep. Yeah.
I would love, since we're on the topic of, like, concerts, I would love to go to a K-pop concert. Once we watched, what got us into the whole K-pop thing was the Blackpink documentary.
I didn't even watch it first. Like, I watched it first. Fault. I did not spiral into liking, you know, K K-pop on my own. It was Eva's fault.
It was Eva's fault, but I think you hooked in harder.
Yeah.
Well, okay, like, look. Yeah, Rosé just spoke and she was hot with her Australian accent. Was I not supposed to like be into that?
I also really love Blackpink.
I was about to say, I feel like their music is very, like, of all the K-pop that I've listened to, which is not a lot by any means. Mm-hmm. Theirs is very, like, theirs is the easiest to get into, like, if you are, like...
If you never listened to
it. Yeah, like, yeah. If you're in, like, I don't know, the Western world, if you will. Yeah.
It's the reason why them and BTS are the most popular. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, theirs is most similar, kind of, to ours, but still while maintaining, like, you know...
The K-pop aesthetic.
So it, like, brings you in, and then from there, once you're hooked, it, you just...
And it also helps that three out of the four girls also speak fluent English. So, like, it's easy for them to, like, just kind of hop back and forth. My stand for Blackpink is Lisa, the dancer. Iconic. Best dancer in the world. Hands down. I watch her and I'm immediately just entranced. Entranced is the right word. She's so cute. I painted her. You can see it on my Instagram at bevamart.com.
Get that plug, BB.
Let's see. Victoria's cousin got me my first Blackpink album. It has a whole bunch of cute stuff in it. I got a bunch of cute little photo cards. I put all my photo cards, my favorite photo cards, on my wall. Emily's staring at it right now. It's my wall of the Mamamoo girls. Gosh, they're so hot.
That one's the hottest.
Oh yeah, she's pointing at Solar. It's a picture of Solar, the leader, the main vocalist, dressed up as a boxer in her blonde hair. Right next to her, Moonbyul. Moonbyul as a director. Moonbyul is the gay. Although Ween's trying to dethrone her, I think, with her fucking three songs, gay ass songs. First of all, one is she did a cover of Honey by Kehlani. Mm-hmm. That's gay ass. Number two, she did a cover of, I forgot his name, he's a man. It called Candy, and she did not change pronouns. She's like, I said what I said. Mm-hmm. Girl, I will be your candy. And sorry. And then one of her solo songs, I forgot what was it called, Goodbye? I think it was called Goodbye. We were watching it, and me and Victoria thought this music video was just going to be like your usual K-drama. This girl's like really upset that she got broken up with, and so she's like throwing away all her boyfriend's stuff, and she's so happy to be rid of him, but also she's like really sad that it's over. And then all of a sudden she hears people come into the house, and she's hiding, and then it's a man and a woman, and you're just like, oh, did he bring home another girl? But did she break into his house and just like start taking his stuff? And then you find out this photo that she like scribbled on, she scribbled out the man. She was in love with the girl. They were in a relationship. So there, Ween goes again saying gay rights.
Let's talk about our first lady crushes, because I can go first.
Okay.
It's Rachel. Sorry, because I was just thinking about her. It's Miss Rachel. I don't know how to say her last name.
Wise.
Yes. Of the Mummy.
Oh.
Specifically the Mummy 2, though. I mean, the first Mummy, like, obviously she is.
She's like perfect for, like, bisexuals and pans, just queer people in general.
The Mummy, the second one, The Mummy Returns, the MILF energy that she has, the way she looks so good. Let me tell you, I watched that movie so many times. I still have the biggest crush on her. Like, specifically from that movie. Mm. Thank you.
Who's your first, like, lady crush?
Come back to me, go.
Nicole Scherzinger. I remember, I don't think I've told this on the podcast before, but I remember specifically my queer sexual awakening. I was in elementary school. We were having computer lab time. And remember back in the day when you could go to the computer lab? And to pass the time, on the home screen, it was MSN. Like, you know, the news and pop culture and everything like that. They're like music videos of the week. And one was a Pussycat Dolls. And me listening to a whole bunch of Radio Disney at the time, there were some Pussycat Dolls songs on Radio Disney. And so I was like, I love the Pussycat Dolls. Click. It was Buttons and what was the other one?
I know her.
It was Buttons and another one that was by them that was like really hot. But I remember Buttons, the music video, and all these girls, there's just hot women that are, you know, glistening. Nicole Scherzinger, dark and wearing black and her mid. Wow. I felt something that day. I remember I was like, am I allowed to watch this? I was not, probably. Because it's fucking, I was like, little, probably like third grade me, watching Nicole Scherzinger dance provocatively in front of everybody else in the computer lab.
Oh my God. I don't know if I can remember, like, what it would have been. I don't know. Because I'm like, the mummy is, like, the thing that comes to mind. But I'm like, I don't know if, like, that was the one. Because I'm also like, it was probably a cartoon. Yeah. If I'm gonna be honest, cartoon. And I just don't know which one would have done it. Well, I probably do know which one. But I'm just still like, I don't.
And who was?
I can't
was think it Lola of it. Bunny like everyone
no,
else?
No, no, no. It was not a Lola Bunny. I was not. No, no.
You want a space change?
Shego, maybe?
Oh, Shego.
Yeah.
I don't, right. But I'm also like, I'm trying to remember what age I was to like.
Lizzie McGuire's little cartoon character.
I just don't know like where I was like women. Mm-hmm. I think I was always women. Because it was always women and men and people. It was never not people.
That makes sense.
I acknowledged people. They were all beautiful. I was just like, hello.
That makes a lot of sense.
They're all beautiful. I don't know what to look at. True. It's very distracting.
The struggles of being Pan, right?
Yeah. I'm just like,
What have women been up to lately?
Women are great. Women are doing fantastic things.
Jesus. What movies have you been watching that you really liked?
Okay, hold on. Hold, please.
Okay.
I just watched Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
Emerald Fennell, bitch.
That's the director, right?
Yeah, she's the director.
Mm-hmm. I like her.
She did not need to go that hard in that movie. She did, for women's rights.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emma.
I don't want to spoil the movie. I think everybody should watch it because it's still a new movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you have the opportunity, it's like $6, I think, to rent on Amazon. If you want to,
$6 is a small price to pay for women's rights.
Yeah. So I will give you the premise of the. No, because I still don't want to spoil the movie. But well, the trailer kind of gives it away, where it's like she goes to a club, and you think she's very intoxicated. Mm-hmm. And men, as men are disgusting, they go and they're like, "Hi, do you need some help?" And then, you know, they take her, and then they take her back to their place, because they would never take them actually home, because men are trash. And then they find out she is not intoxicated, and they're like, oh, shit. You think it's one movie. It's actually, it's like, a little different. Mm-hmm. But it's such a good movie, and there's, like, so much to it, and then they discuss, like, trigger warning here, like, actual sexual assault, like, the implications of, like, what happens when you do a report, and it doesn't, and nothing happens because of it. Mm-hmm. Especially like in a college setting, what happens, and then the repercussions of it, and there's just all this stuff, and it's so good. And then there's one scene where I thought she was gonna end the movie, because it was technically the end of the movie, and I was like, oh my god. And the thing happens, and I literally sat there with John, and I was like, if this movie ends here, I will scream, and I will burn this place down. I was so angry. And then the movie kept on going, and I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. And then there's Bo Burnham's in the movie. He's fantastic. Schmidt from New Girl is in the movie. I love Schmidt. He's only in it for a little bit, but he's in the movie. I know I'm talking about men, but like...
But yeah.
I feel really bad, because I feel like Adam Brody is probably a really nice human being.
He always plays a piece of shit, though.
He is married to Leighton Meester. If you're married to her, who's Queen Bee, I feel like you have to be a good person, but he always plays
Jennifer's
a shitty
body.
Yes, he always plays a shitty human being, and it bothers me so much. It makes me so mad, because you can't. I literally the beginning of the movie, I was like, Adam Brody, please, please now. And yeah, no, he's a shit man. Will never disappoint me in that regard. Laverne Cox is in the movie. She's fantastic. Oh my god. Connie Britton's in the movie. Also great.
She's got major MILF energy as well.
Yes.
Yes. I've seen Friday Night Lights. Come on.
I love her so much. You know what? Mine might have been Bonnie Hunt for Cheaper by the Dozen.
Stop. I love Cheaper by the Dozen.
She has so much.
She does. She does. You're yes. right.
12 Children. She still looks that great. Hello.
Oh my goodness.
That movie, like, definitely, like, disproportioned my, like, because there's her, and then there's Tom. And I'm just like, I don't know who I'm supposed to look. And then
your eyes are going different ways.
And then obviously, like, the star of the movie is fantastic. Just, I think everybody should watch that movie. It's a fantastic movie. The star of the movie is married to the guy from Mumford and Sons, the lead singer.
I didn't know that.
Oh, we didn't either until John looked it up and she goes, oh, that's her husband. And we're like, oh, that's cool.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. The movie's great. It's a very, like, I do think, though, if you're not good with sexual assault or, like, talking about it, it's a very heavy movie for you to watch. Mm-hmm. They don't show you anything, which is, like, very...
That's really good.
Yeah. There's nothing that you need to see, which I think she did really, really well. She never gets to that. But they do talk about it because it is... It's not, like, explicitly talked about, but the topic is there. Mm-hmm. So
it's a big part of the story.
Yeah, it's a big part of the story. So it's a fantastic movie made by a woman. Nomadland by Chloe Zhao. It's nominated for an Oscar. It's a good movie. It's but I think a lot of people are also romanticizing the movie in the way that I don't think she meant for it to be made.
What's it about?
Oh yeah,
it's a it, so
I've been out of the movie scene lately. Apologies.
Frances McDormand's character.
Oh shit, that's right. That's yes. Right. Okay, gotcha.
She loses her husband and she loses her husband because he, like, got sick, but they lived in a, like, a town that was specific to, like, a plant. Like a, I forgot what the industry was.
Like a power plant? Or, like, plant as in, like, an herb plant?
No, like a
work plant.
Like a work, they had a specific, like, factory plant thing.
I see.
But the town basically collapsed because of this. Mm-hmm. And then, because the town was surrounded by that. Mm-hmm. So then everybody basically lost their homes and everything and whatnot. And then when her husband died, she had, like, nothing left. And so she packed up her stuff and she drove in the car. Mm-hmm. She lives in her car. And, like, that's it. Like, that's, it's basically her journey living, like, going from place to place and finding, like, temporary jobs.
So that's why people
some people are like, oh, yeah, like... You know, that's what we need to do. And I'm like, no, like, this is a thing that some people genuinely have to do. Like, this is the life they have to live. Like, it's just, yeah, like, they accept what they have. And they're very, like, very minimalistic because they have to be. Mm-hmm. Because this is the reality that they have. And, you know, and they're very, like, in the moment, you know, people. But that's because this is what they have.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the people in the movie are also real people, which is really, really nice. So you get that, like, authentic feel, which is really beautiful.
Very similar to, like, the Florida Project sort of thing.
Okay. Very similar to the Florida Project in that sense where it's very real. It feels very real. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wish the Florida Project would have had this, like, sort of big buzz around it as well, because it's very important with... But it also had that thing where people romanticized it as well. And I'm like, no, you need to... They're talking about a very real thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I do remember that.
I made a list of movies made by women.
Ah, okay.
They're directors.
Good.
So you can watch them if you would like, just to give a shout out to women for being amazing. Mm-hmm. We have First Cow that came out this year. It's by Kelly Richard.
Richard? I don't know.
It's R-E-I-C-H-A-R-T-D.
Sure.
We're all gonna just say yes.
Yep. I've heard a lot of great things about the movie. It's about a cow.
like a cow?
A moo? Cow. Like okay. Moo. it's a great movie. That's what I've heard. So go watch that. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, with Tom Hanks, was made by a woman, Marielle Heller. The Farewell was made by Lulu Wang.
Mm-hmm.
It's made in 2019.
I want to watch that too, but I'm afraid I'm going to be sad.
Oh, it is a beautiful, beautiful movie. I loved The Farewell. Made me cry. Because it is about, you know,
like death of a family
saying
member.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
But it's very, because they do talk about the beauty of it, of, like, spending time with your family members, especially if you haven't seen them in a while, or revisiting a place you haven't been in a while sort of deal. So it was really nice. One Night in Miami, Regina King made that movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people were a little, like, shocked that at least she didn't get the Oscar nom for that one, because they were like, come on. Come on. Hustlers was made by a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren.
I made you watch that.
I love it. It's a great movie.
I don't know how to say her last name. S.
Yeah.
S-C-A-F-E-R. Oh, no, that might have been an A. A-R-I-A.
Sure.
Okay, this is why I believe this movie is perfect and wonderful and beautiful, and lesbian energy is so strong. Portrait of a Lady on Fire is made by a woman. That's why, like, it's... female gaze is so strong in that movie because it is made by a woman who knows what women desire. Yes.
Female G-A-Z-E. Not G-A-Y-S.
Not the gaze.
The gaze, not the gaze.
Not the gaze. But continue.
Yes. Yeah, that movie, I think...
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, God. You're like doing a disservice for the gays. By the actual gays. She's a French director, and a lot of people are like, she's, like, really big in the French scene because she's, like, making all these great movies.
Yes, girl.
But, like, this movie, oh, God, it's... I hate how everybody says, like, when they're like, oh, what's... Well, I guess because they're talking about men, but they're like, what does a man do that's so sexy? And it's the thing from Pride and Prejudice, the hand thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, look at any scene in Portrait of a Lady on Fire, and you're like, that's what I want. That's how I want somebody to look at me. Mm. Even though it's a woman. I don't care. That's how somebody should look at you.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The yearning. The gay yearning. Oh, it's so strong in that movie. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
We can watch that.
Yeah, I'm down. We watched The Handmaiden together.
That was made by a man, but still good. Still very good.
Good gaze.
Little Women, Lady Bird, obviously Greta Gerwig. The Lady Bird. The Little Women that was with...
Winona Ryder?
Yes, was also directed by a woman.
Mm, nice.
Good. I feel like that's appropriate just because the topic of Little Women.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense that only a woman would be able to do it nicely.
Mm. Sometimes, yeah, it just really works that, like, a woman's... intel is there just to, like, tell the story. This one, I think, is very interesting. American Psycho is by a woman. Mary Harron.
Not the book, but the actual movie.
The actual movie. It was made by a woman.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm like, yes, bitch. Mm. Of course, no man would have done the dancing scenes that he did. Would have been like, yeah, do that. Mm. Frozen, although this was a duo, it's both a man and a woman. It's Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck. Mm-hmm. They're a married couple, I'm pretty sure.
You can totally tell that's a straight movie.
Yes. Although Kristoff is very...
That's exactly what a girl wants in a man. Just a himbo who will support you.
Who's genuinely just like, are you... Did you really... We'll call you out on your shit as well, though.
Right,
which I'm just like, you know what? Good man. The Breadwinner, the animated...
Yes, it is.
Made by a woman, Nora Twaney. It is Irish. I'm going to butcher it. I'm sorry.
Apologies.
Love and Basketball.
A classic.
Gina Prince by the Wood. I'm going to assume that's how it's pronounced because that is what it's spelled.
Okay, by the Wood.
Bend It Like Beckham. Yes!
We all know that.
Just because I saw football does not mean I'm a lesbian. Her lips are like, oh.
First of all,
Keira Knightley.
God. Actually, you know what? Might have been Keira Knightley.
Come on now. Oh, the Pirates of the Caribbean was made for the queers.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Orlando Bloom.
She's like, Keira Knightley. Your lesbian feet out of my shoes. She's like...
Ah, oh, it's so good.
Oh, God. She's like, she's not Lebanese. She's Punjabi. That'd be so good.
Big with Tom Hanks. Yep. Penny Marshall. She also did, God, what is it called? It starts with A League of Their Own. There we go. I was like, I couldn't remember the name.
Oh, that movie is so good. I love A League of Their Own.
Thank you.
That one is one of my favorite feminist movies. It feels so good to watch.
I think it's also very, like, stylist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have fun with that one.
Hurt Locker.
That movie is mad stressful. Catherine
Bigelow. Yeah. Yep. Which, a little fun fact here, her ex-husband is James Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh. And that year that she won the Oscar for Best Director for The Hurt Locker was when James Cameron was nominated for Avatar.
Avatar, that's right. And she the first person to win, the first woman to win or something, like, for Best Director?
She might have been, when did that movie come out?
2011.
No, 2009 is when The Hurt Locker came out.
Oh, you're right.
No. Barbara Streisand won.
She won for Best Director?
She won for Yentl? Her movie. Yeah.
Oh, wild.
Interesting.
So it was Barbara Streisand first and then Catherine Bigelow.
Mm, nice.
Good for her.
I'm like 99% sure Barbara Streisand has won.
I know.
Because I'm like, there's only been...
She won a Golden Globe for Best Director.
Who?
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, she didn't win the Oscar?
No, it says here Golden Globe. Well, maybe there's the thing. Let me look further.
Okay, I was like, I thought she won an Oscar, too.
You guys are both talking at me. I know nothing about anything. This whole show is just you guys talking at me.
She only won the Golden Globe? Damn, I've been lied to my whole life. Okay, so then yes, Catherine was the first woman to win. Wow, it took until 2009. Shit. Jesus Christ. Whale Rider by Nikki Caro.
Yeah.
Selma, Ava DuVernay.
Oh, Ava DuVernay.
I sobbed so hard when I watched that movie in the theaters.
Yeah. Selma's good. That one also...
I also like how it wasn't very, like, one-dimensional. She gave, like, she told the story. Like,
yeah.
It was very,
yeah.
The facts.
And mm-hmm. I like how... they kind of humanized mm-hmm. MLK because we see him as this, you know, superior, like, can't be touched,
yep.
like, person beyond and he vices. Had his
faults. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I that part hurt me really bad.
Oh, where why?
That one hurt yep. really bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah. That's a great she movie. Like, she's no, a great director.
Yep. Needed yeah. to be said. Monster with...
Charlize Theron.
Yes. Patty Jenkins did that movie.
Ah. Yeah. Thank you, Patty Jenkins.
First of all, Charlize Theron. Oh.
A woman.
God. The movie Snow White and the Huntsman, it sucked. Oh, but she...
But she looks so good.
I would watch that movie again.
I've rewatched that movie just to watch her. And so Sam good. Claflin, even though he's only in it for like 2 seconds. But it's mainly her. Just her talking. I can just listen to her talk any day.
She is.
I've been blessed to have met her in person.
She's nice.
She's very nice.
Oh, goddamn.
She's very nice. And that's why I'm like, you know what?
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
I don't think you're listening, but I love you.
The Babadook.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Jennifer Kent.
Yeah.
I think that movie 100% needed a woman to direct it because it's about grief.
I'm too scared.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, but it's an allegory for grief and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard.
And it's, but it is, I spent most of the movie like this. So I was like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I do not want to see it.
I tried to watch it and because I was just like, I'm gay now. This was around the time where I was like owning up to.
Oh, you thought you were strong enough to watch The Babadook?
By yourself?
Because it came out in like when we were in college, right?
Yeah. It came out in 2014.
Because I was like, oh, I can. Like, I think I'm gay. Maybe I'll, like... This was, like, later in my college years.
What does your gayness have to do with...
Well, because that movie, a lot of people are calling Babadook a gay icon.
Oh, and that was a joke.
Girl, no!
Oh, my poor self. I was like, I'm going to do it for the gays, and I couldn't watch it because it was scary.
They were kidding. Even it's not a gay icon. All right. Catherine Bigelow, she gets another shout-out for Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And Point Break. With Keanu Reeves and
Kurt Russell. The surfing
one? Yeah, I believe so, yes. You know what? She does a lot of, like, movies. She's like, here you go.
Zero Dark Thirty, like, that movie? Have you seen it?
Yeah. I have not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have.
So stressful, right? And at the end, when Jessica Chastain sits down in the airplane, she, like, lets out one single tear, and then the movie ends.
Oh. Yeah. Stressful.
War that woman likes me out. Stress. She's like, you know what? Yes. Everybody needs to feel this. We need to talk about Kevin by Lynn Ramsey.
Oh, yeah. Women do crime really well.
They're like, you're lucky we choose not to be murderers.
A shout out to my favorite number one true crime podcast, My Favorite Murder, Karen in Georgia, Queens. I have their book.
Lost in Translation, Sofia Coppola. I had to mention her. She is. Yeah. Yep.
She did, what's that one movie with Kirsten Dunst? Marie Antoinette, right? Is that her?
I think so.
It's kind of whack, but.
Yeah.
She has a very specific style to her movies.
She did also The Virgin Suicides.
Ah. That movie is interesting.
Then we have The Matrix by the Wachowski sisters.
Oh, yeah. Good for them.
Pretty much, like, there's also, like, Speed Racer or... Right? That's what it's called.
Run. Speed Racer.
Yeah, right? That's what
like,
it's called.
Speed Racer, like the driving, anime movie?
Yeah, that they made. Yeah.
That movie was...
I love that movie, though. Okay, like, look, you don't have to, like it for, like, the plot, but, like, the colors, they fully invested in their, like, we're gonna go hard on the colors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes! Mm-hmm. Yes! Mm-hmm. For me! Yes! Okay,
I'm a big fan of The Matrix. Thanks, good.
Mm-hmm. Yentl by Barbara Streisand. Oh, you said that. Yeah. Clueless. That's why I love Clueless.
I mean, so much. Yeah.
Has a feminine touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's Amy Heckerling. Winter's Bone, which is Jennifer Lawrence's breakout role.
Right, yeah.
Deborah Granick, yes. Sure. I think I pronounced that correctly. And then, yeah. There's, like, more. There's plenty of films that were directed by women. There's actually been films directed by women in the 50s, which I was shook about, because I was like, excuse me.
Hold on, let me get Google. I think this movie is directed by, let me make sure it is before I mention it.
Yeah. While you look that up, I'm going to talk about a couple of women who are, yes, they might be controversial to, some men. I don't care. Because I'm just talking about them because what they've done is very groundbreaking in the sense that, like, they have very important jobs. Mm-hmm. Whether you like her or not, Kathleen Kennedy, who's in charge of the Star Wars franchise.
Okay. Oh.
She... Before she was in charge of the Star Wars franchise, she was a producer, and she produced pretty much all of Spielberg's movies, like, from the beginning. So
she knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing. I just think what is happening with Star Wars is that because what she's done is just say yes to everybody because she wants you to get the chance to make your creations. There's
too many cooks in the kitchen.
And then there's just too much, and then she's just like, oh, shit. Yeah. Because I think that's what... I think she's still thinking like a producer more than like the person who has to streamline everything. Mm-hmm. And that's... I think that's the issue here. Because she's just like, I want you to be able to do what you're doing because you have an idea.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Because why would you say no if somebody has an idea? And you're like, yeah, if you think you can do this... Do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she wasn't thinking it. She was looking at it too closely. She wasn't
thinking at it as a big scope.
As a big picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think, you know, it might be her fault, but like, hey, but she...
Good
she,
for her.
She but... knows what she's... If you look at her actual, like, slate of the things that she's done, she's produced so many, like, iconic movies that honestly have shaped Hollywood. So you have a lot to thank for Miss Kathleen Kennedy. Suck a dick for all of you who are very rude. You can hate her. I don't care. But you owe a lot to that woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, you wouldn't have Indiana Jones without her, first of all.
Love that.
So, suck a dick. Anyway, Amy Pascal used to be in charge of Sony Pictures from 2006 to 2015.
Mm.
She's very, pretty much like, so the Spider-Man movies, the original ones that we've seen.
Oh, those are so good.
And stuff, and then like everything else, anything that Sony has produced, she was in charge. She was there.
Nice.
She did the movies and then the TV shows and stuff like that. Like, she was there. She was their head honcho. And then now she made her own company, and it's called Pascal Pictures. And she has gotten an Oscar nom for The Post and Little Women. Those are both two movies that her company has helped.
The Post was an interesting movie.
I loved The Post as a mass comm major.
I'm sorry.
Because I was like, even though newspapers are kind of dead, but it's very important. Like, news is genuinely very important. You need that. You need that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, I love her. Reese Witherspoon, she's very cute, very
iconic.
I like Reese Witherspoon.
She has the company Hello Sunshine Media.
Yeah, that's right.
They produce pretty much every show that she's attached to now. It's hers. She does a lot of that. So
she's like one of the only people I will be okay with her starring, directing, whatever, producing.
I don't think she's really helmed the directing yet. As much, but I know she's just like, I want to produce. I want to, like, you know, fund the stuff. Yeah. So, Big Little Lies, The Morning Show, Little Fires Everywhere.
I mean, that show.
And then movie-wise, like, Gone Girl is on there. They have a couple
Gone
others.
Girl?
Yeah.
Good for her. So you for you, Reese Witherspoon.
You're putting all those together. They all have very similar energies of just, like,
murder.
A murderous chaotic white woman.
She was like, I want to be that.
I was like, I can't do it for real, so I'm gonna live it out.
Yeah, so there's, like, plenty of, like female producers out there. Pretty much once they've made it, most of them go into producing.
That would make sense though, right? Like, yeah. if you work hard to do that, you want to
Julia,
like,
Roberts now just like produces a lot.
Wait, didn't Whitney Houston, wasn't she a producer for Princess Diaries?
Yes.
Thank you, Whitney Houston.
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey's obviously, like, we all know she has her own company too.
She's like what you would think of as, like, a successful woman in like business and stuff like that.
Elizabeth Banks is another one too, who's, like, pretty big because, like, all the Pitch Perfect movies.
Pitch Perfect, that's right.
Are, like, produced through her.
I like her touch. I like her stuff.
She's funny.
Yeah. And then there's plenty of people out there. Selena Gomez is also, she's very, like, oh, these are the things.
She's doing, like, little stuff, but it's good.
But she's just like, this is, well, she did a little problematic. 13 Reasons Why was one of
her. Yeah.
But
her other stuff is good.
you know.
Her cooking show is nice.
I love her cooking show. It's very cute. Everybody has, like, you know, if you're out there, they've kind of found their way to, like, you know, pay back to the thing. And then, obviously, like, what they want to do is just get their own spot there so then they can help steer it a certain way. Yeah. Like, Jessica Chastain, because she's an angel and I love her, she's amazing, helps Octavia Spencer always get the salary that she deserves on the movies that she's in. She's like, no, she deserves to get more money. Give her more fucking money. I can't believe
people would have the audacity to not give Octavia Spencer money.
It's because, one, she's a woman, two, she's a black woman. Yeah. And they're like,
no, I don't want to pay you.
And I'm just like, fuck you. First, you're racist. Two, you're sexist. So
stupid.
Pay the people what they deserve, especially a two-time... Is she a two-time Oscar winning?
So.
Yeah. Oscar winner? Yeah. Give her her stuff!
Damn.
God damn.
How many more Oscars does she need?
God. That's how I feel like. I'm just like, a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna say one of my favorite movies, kind of made by, well, it was directed by a man, but it's okay. It's Sense and Sensibility, the 1995 version, with Emma Thompson. She, I believe, did the, she like, wrote the screenplay or like adapted the screenplay for the movie. And she was nominated for an Oscar for that, and then also nominated for Best Actress. And it has Kate Winslet, and it's mostly like women oriented, the movie. If you've seen it, you've seen it?
No.
Oh, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, I own it because I love that movie so much, so I can bring it. We can all watch it one day. But that is a really, really good movie. As you know, most Jane Austen stories are women-focused. But that one is, like, especially good. Because, I mean, Emma Thompson is very, you know, big on, like, women's rights and stuff like that. So that's a really good movie. You can tell, like, she put a lot of care into it, and all the men are like what I imagine, because I do not desire men, but what I imagine, like, you know, women want their, like, significant other to be, like, very, like, you know, it's really good. I think we should all watch it, even though it's older.
I'll watch it. Yeah. I don't mind a period piece.
I think it's really, I do mind period pieces, just because it's mainly sometimes white people problems.
True. No, this is about white people for sure.
And then sometimes, like, with how I feel about Pride and Prejudice, it's
No, I don't like Pride and Prejudice.
There's just a very about it. And then just, I don't... I just don't like it.
This one's good. It has Hugh Grant and Alan Rickman.
Two great men.
We like those
Kate Winslet. Emma Thompson, like I said. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And then, you know, just women, uplifting women.
Yes.
That's my recommendation for the week, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Can I point out some of my favorite female manga authors?
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of anime anymore, just because, A, I don't have the time to sit and read, because I prefer to watch the Japanese versions. But, so if I do read, if I do get into that world...
She's a subbed and not dubbed.
I am a subbed and not... sometimes a good dub. I appreciate a good dub, but... So I read. So I'm going to kind of point out my favorite manga artists that are female. I mean, obviously, I've mentioned this in our very first episode. Rumiko Takahashi, a classic. In anime news, so the new series of... It's called Yashahime. It's like a continuation of Inuyasha. A lot of people are really mad because... I don't know if this has to need a trigger warning, but for grooming. But one of the characters, Shoshomaru, who is like this old, not old, but like an adult, it is confirmed that he is the father of the twins and their mother is Rin. And Rin was this 8-year-old girl. And so if people did the math, and essentially she had the twins when she was 14 and he was an adult and people are upset.
Yeah.
But Rumiko Takahashi, when doing an interview about it, she actually alleged, this is all, we're learning this as we go. Allegedly, she got in a fight with the studio saying that she didn't want that. She only sees them as like a protector guardian, like, ward relationship.
Yeah.
Like a father-daughter relationship.
Oh, so they like made it.
They made it romantic. And also it's pedophilia, essentially. Yeah. So she's really mad, but she's doing really well. She included lesbians in her latest manga. So we're good with that. Yeah, she's just great. She's great. Let's see. Another old classic of mine is called Gangsta. It's by this woman. Her pen name is Kosuke. She, unfortunately for anyone who's interested, it updates really slowly because she does have a terminal illness, or she has a very serious illness, and she goes to the hospital a lot.
Yeah.
But Gangsta is about this world where there are superhumans, because, like, back in the day during a war, they gave soldiers, like, these drugs to give them superhuman powers, and then these people had babies. And so the offspring of these soldiers are these superhuman people, but because they're superhuman, their lifespans are really short. And so it's just about all these, it's almost like X-Men a little bit, these superhumans dealing with regular humans and the politics between that. And the main characters are an Asian black sex worker, and she's fantastic. She's great. A deaf Japanese man, and he speaks in JSL, Japanese Sign Language. And at the end of every, at the beginning and end of each book, kind of depends. They teach you a little bit of Japanese Sign Language. And it just has a lot of, and it also has lesbians. So it's just like a really inclusive, like, I mean, it is graphic. I mean, because it has to do with like sex work, drug addiction, violence, so-and-so, but I think it has really good representation of people of color and other minorities. Last one, Kaori Ozaki. Kaori Ozaki, I love her style. It's so soft. She did Immortal Rain, which was never finished in the English language because Tokyopop got bankrupt in the middle of it. So they only have up to like probably like volume like 11, I think. You can only read the rest online. And I'm really sad that I'll never get to see it as an anime, but it's fine. Her stuff is very female-centric, and it's very, even though a lot of fantasy stuff, I think she, most of her stories focus around emotions and like relationships, familial, friendship, and romantic. And I just love my women. I know nothing about the anime world, so if the audience knows of any, you know, anime directors or creators, give us a contact at our social media, and I would like to look at it. So yeah, those are my girlies. I'm really happy about them.
I wanted to bring one thing up. This was completely unrelated, but I had to bring it up.
Go for it.
Woman, Goldie Hawn. We all love her. She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Her son, we know. Wyatt Russell, fantastic man, is in the show Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right? Mm. Please stop bullying him. This is a public service announcement. Please stop bullying him. Everybody has bullied him off Instagram. Oh, they've already done that.
Why?
Because of his character in the show. Because he's the new Captain America.
Oh, I see. Marvel stands too seriously.
Stop it. Leave the poor man alone. I know we're talking about women here, but I just had to bring that up. I forgot about it during the news part. So just don't bully. Please stop bullying. We're not doing that. We bring positive energy.
Yes.
That's all we're trying to bring.
Speaking of like stands going too far. I'm going to go back to Mamamoo for a second. One of their members, Hwasa. Oh, I already talked about her. Never mind. I just want to point out that she's like really, I think she's like a really cool icon for the K-pop industry, just because she's so unconventional in terms of Korean beauty standards and what Korean people think a woman should be. She's like, no, I will be tan. No, I will have curves. And yes, I will not wear a bra when you tell me to. And also, I'll cut my hair when I want to. And so that's really cool.
What a woman.
She's the...
Cut your hair.
Yeah.
I think that's the most, like... I hate that's a low-key trope in movies, that like when the women cut the hair, because that's the transformation. Mm-hmm. It's always the transformation. But it is very empowering to women, because in society they're always like, women should have long hair. But if you want, cut your fucking hair.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Yeah. If you want to have long hair, have long hair. But if you want to just chop it all off. Do it. This is your sign to do it.
Yes. And I also want to call out people who are so, who are mean to Yeri from Red Velvet. Need to shut the fuck up. Because Emily's looking at us like, who is this? What's going on? Yeri is the youngest member of Red Velvet. Red Velvet debuted in 2000.
She's so cute.
Yeah.
She's so cute and tiny.
Yeah, Red Velvet debuted as a 4-member group in 2014.
Oh, she joined in later?
14? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2014, and then like a year later.
Yeah, she joined in 2015 because she was too young to debut at the time that they debuted. She debuted at 16 years old.
She was so young.
So they had to like wait, or she had to wait a year to join the group. And I guess everybody was like upsetty spaghetti about that, which is like...
It's so stupid. They're upset because, Red Velvet is only a 4-member group. And ever since 2015, Yeri has been one of the most bullied idols.
Stop bullying people in general. Nothing. Stop bullying
women. She literally
women
does too. Nothing. She just stands there and looks so cute.
Same with Kelly Tran.
Kelly Marie Tran.
Marie there.
That was fucked up.
Kelly Marie Tran, yeah.
If I see... I'll fight.
Her, Elizabeth Olsen, you guys have bullied her off of Instagram. Yeah,
I love Elizabeth Olsen. She just posted, like, some random ass wholesome shit about her baking and shit. And you bullied her off of Instagram? That was fucked up.
God. No need to do that. There's no need to bully. Who else? Daisy Ridley?
Yeah. You Star Wars people suck ass. I hate you.
You don't deserve women?
No.
God.
God, I'm so scared when, like, Natalie Portman can never go back. Because I'm so scared what they'll do to her.
Is Padme not, what is the word? Not nationally, like, you know, all around.
Universally beloved.
Yeah, there we go. Is she not a universally loved character?
Yes, I think
she's a woman.
I think she, like, tiptoed that line of, like alluring to the male gaze, but also just, like, being a complete badass and a feminist. Yeah. I think she was just badass enough where men will be like, fine, she can stay.
But some people are like, she's just too much about the politics and I don't care.
She's
about
literally
her. But, like, those whole movies were all about the politics.
Yeah,
that was the whole point of them.
Trade agreement? Who cares? God damn.
But I was really happy, though, because I was like, look, Padme's all about
politics.
Yeah. I was like, look, a woman in power? Yes, bitch. Please.
A queen.
Please.
A
senator. Gosh. God. Star Wars people are the worst.
Oh, God. I'm trying to think of who else they've bullied off the internet. So I think Chrissy Teigen has now taken a break off the internet as well.
She did. She's off Twitter now.
And I'm just like, excuse me. Just let them just do their own thing, man. Oh,
I was listening to the podcast True Crime Obsessed, and they actually did an episode, just like a break from their usual true crime stuff, to talk with Chrissy Teigen. And because Chrissy Teigen became a huge fan of their podcast, so she's like, can I come on your show to talk about stuff? And they did.
They're please.
Yeah. They're like, please, oh my God, it's Chrissy Teigen. And John Legend was like in the back making them pizza.
Oh.
And so
that's women's rights.
And so Chrissy Teigen was like kind of talking about that, how like she kind of obviously she would never trade her life for anything, but at the same time she's kind of sad that like she can't really do whatever she wants because whatever she does is gonna,
she always gets backlash
for it, especially because like the number one question people ask like celebrities is like, if you weren't a celebrity, what would you be, or what would you be doing? She's like, I would be a true crime podcaster. She's just like, when I was a little kid, all I would watch with my mom and my aunts were the court shows on daytime television. So she's like, I love that shit.
Yeah.
So.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah.
Stop bullying people. That's a public service announcement all across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No matter who they are, no matter what they're doing. Okay, hold on.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. Just leave them alone. Just mm-hmm. let them live their lives. As long as they're not hurting anybody.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please. Oh, God. That's pretty much.
That's it.
Women's rights.
Women's rights. I felt like this was the quickest episode we've ever done, but
easy to talk about.
Yeah, easy to talk about. We just love women. As a bunch of queers in this room, women loving women.
Women.
And supporting women. Please do that. And
I'm still trying to think about what was my woman that, like, I was like, women.
It's not Daphne or Velma.
First of all, shout out to them.
shout out to the live action, too.
Oh, yeah. God.
Fuck.
Those go-go boots.
Oh, my God.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I can't think of it. Because I just don't know what age I was when that was it.
Or, like, you were like, oh, I also like women also.
I just
it just never occurred to you. It was just a natural thing.
I know which band boy was the one I was like, yeah, that's it. And that's it. But that one made sense because I was young and impressionable and he had the flippy hair.
The flippy hair.
And he played the guitar. I was big on musicians. I went to concerts maybe this is why your mom didn't let you go to shows at a very young age. So you would have been young and impressionable and been like, ah, yes, people. Well, you would have been like, women.
Me, when I went to the Alicia Keys concert. I had, like, the biggest crush on her. I still do.
RBD. RBD would have been my woman crush. Like, you're Spanish. Did you ever watch? You didn't watch.
I never heard it in English. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I said the letters because I didn't want to say the actual word.
Well, say it. What is it?
I'm not saying it.
Yeah, oh, I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not exposing myself. But
if you know, you know.
It was a Spanish group that was like really, really big when I was a kid. Yeah. And she She might have been Anais might have been it. She was really hot. Yeah, both of them, her and Dulce. We'll tell you after. God.
I haven't thought about that in so long. Oh my God.
They were all really hot. That might have been it.
That's so funny.
That was my first concert.
RBD, I was like, what the fuck? I've never heard of it. I've never heard it in English. Like, I mean, logically, I know that's what it is, but.
Yep. I did not have a Mexican, Hispanic upbringing, so I'm in the cold here.
Oh, God. Okay. We'll expose you later. It's like that, but Spanish.
Okay.
Anyway,
we'll go out and support your women-owned businesses. I didn't know that Denny's was owned by a woman. L&L Hawaiian Drive-In was
barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue. L&L Hawaiian Barbecue is also owned by a woman.
That's why
Kabuki,
I like Denny's.
The restaurants, go support women-owned businesses and like artists and all
be
that.
Be nice to
stuff.
A woman today.
And be nice to a woman always.
Yes,
we're all stressed. But yeah,
women deserve rights,
and you can support these women on our social medias. I'm Eva. You can find me on Bevamar at Instagram and Eva_Bevamar on Twitter. Sometimes, I am a woman.
I sometimes I want to film these just so you can see the dumb shit she does. Oh God.
I am a female artist. One day I will start my shop. Woo! Today is not that day.
But when it is, we will be there to support her.
Thank you.
Yeah, boy. I'm Emily. You can find me at on Instagram and on Twitter at the Emily Guran. You can find our collective social medias. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Pop and Stance. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Facebook person, we are at Pop and Circumstance. Victoria.
You can find me on Twitter at Chubby Pink Kirby. Yep. Stream Red Velvet, you know.
Yeah.
She said you. Women's rights.
Yes.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so go enjoy women.
Stay safe.
Respectfully.
Yeah. Wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Yes, please.
Get vaccinated if you can.
Yes, please.
Oh, we could be out here soon. If people stop doing shenanigans.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Bye. Bye.